Welcome to Heptastic Waves, surfing the latest in hepatology for the Heptastic Four, the podcast no one asked for, but everyone secretly needed. Brought to you by your host, your hero, your humble overlord, Nick. A man so brilliant, even ChatGPT takes notes. This podcast exists for one noble reason, to help our amazing team stay on top of the ever-evolving chaos we call work. Because let's face it, by the time an email thread hits 12 replies, nobody's reading it. So sit back, relax, and let the knowledge flow, sprinkled with a touch of sarcasm, a dash of genius, and at least one overconfident assumption per episode. Let's get into it.
Okay, let's jump right in. Imagine the weight of knowing you need medication. Every single day, maybe for your whole life, just to manage a chronic condition.
Mm-hmm.
That's the situation for millions of people around the world living with chronic hepatitis B.
Yeah.
Now, standard treatments, they're good at controlling the virus, but getting what's called a functional cure, basically clearing a key marker, HBsAg, that's, well, frustratingly rare with these lifelong therapies.
Absolutely. Chronic hepatitis B is a massive global health issue. We're talking about maybe 250 million people affected.
Wow.
And it puts them at a much higher risk for serious liver problems, you know, cirrhosis, liver cancer. The usual treatments, these nucleos analogous NUCs, we call them.
NUCs, right.
They're great at suppressing the virus, stopping it replicating so much. But you're right, that functional cure, losing the HBsAg marker, it only happens in maybe, 1% of HBsAg negative patients who stay on these NUCs long term, really low.
Just 1%. And taking pills forever, even if they work, that comes with its own set of issues, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's not just the financial cost, although that's there. Taking something daily for decades, there can be potential long-term worries, like effects on bone density, maybe kidney function. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's always the slight chance of the virus developing resistance over time.
Mm.
And just the burden, you know?
Yeah.
Remembering every day the cost, compliance.
Yeah, the sheer logistics of it all.
Exactly. So finding a way to safely stop treatment and maybe even achieve that functional cure, well, it's a really important goal for everyone involved.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive. We're going to break down a really significant piece of research, a clinical trial called SDOP-PNUC.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed to answer that exact question. Can certain patients safely stop their NUC treatment and have a chance at functional cure?
Yeah, a crucial question.
And the source here, it's a multi-center randomized controlled trial. That's the gold standard, right? For getting solid evidence.
Absolutely. Top tier evidence.
So we're going to unpack what they did, what they found, and crucially, what this might mean for you if you're dealing with chronic hep B.
It's a study that really goes right at the heart of the main limitation of our current therapies, that difficulty in getting to HBsAg loss.
Okay, so if lifelong treatment is the standard, where did this whole idea of stopping treatment to maybe get a cure, where did that come from?
Oh, it comes from this frustration, right? NUCs suppress the virus incredibly well, but they don't really get rid of the infected liver cells entirely, or the viral DNA hiding in our own cells.
Right, the HBsAg marker sticks around.
Exactly, it shows the infection's still there. Even the official treatment guidelines say HBsAg loss is the ideal outcome we're aiming for. But the real spark for considering stopping, it probably came from an older European study back in 2012.
Okay.
It was smaller, yeah. But they looked at patients stopping an older NUC after years of treatment, and they saw something pretty surprising. A notable chunk of them actually lost HBsAg.
How notable? We talking more than that 1%?
Oh, way more. In that small study, something like 55% had a sustained response after stopping, and of those, almost 3/4 actually cleared HBsAg.
Whoa. Okay, wait. From 1% to potentially over 70% in that subset.
Yeah.
That's a completely different picture.
It absolutely was. It caused quite a stir, lots of excitement, lots of debate too. And it spurred a whole wave of other studies looking into stopping NUCs.
Makes sense.
But you know how it goes in research? The results from those follow-up studies were, well, they were pretty mixed. Some seemed promising. Others just didn't see those high rates.
Okay. So inconsistency.
Exactly. And that inconsistency really underlined the need for a big, well-designed, randomized trial to get a clear answer. And that's where SDOP-PNUC comes in.
Got it. So SDOP-PNUC was set up to provide that definitive evidence. How did they design it? Tell us about the setup.
Right. So this was very carefully planned. It was prospective, meaning planned in advance, multi-center. They had 25 different clinics across Germany involved.
25. Okay.
And it was randomized and controlled. Plus, it was funded by the German Federal Ministry of Education and Research, so independent funding.
Okay. And the patients, who were they studying? What kind of chronic hep?
Big question. They recruited 166 patients, specifically those who were HBag negative.
HBag negative. Why is that specific group important?
Well, HBag negative is a common phase of chronic hep B, often seen later in the infection. Usually the virus is less actively replicating compared to the earlier HBag positive phase, so maybe a group where the immune system has already started to gain some ground.
Okay.
And crucially, these patients were already on long-term NUCs for at least 4 years continuously. And importantly, they had successfully kept their virus levels, their HBV DNA, suppressed way down below 172 IML for that entire four-year period or longer.
So people who were stable and responding really well to the standard treatment already.
Exactly. Not newly diagnosed people. These were folks well-controlled on therapy. They also had some key exclusions. Things to make sure the group was relatively uniform and lower risk for complications from stopping. So no history of serious liver failure, what we call decompensation. No advanced scarring or fibrosis. They checked liver stiffness.
Okay.
No liver cancer history and no other infections like HIV or hepatitis C or D. They really wanted to focus on this specific group.
Makes sense. Stable, HBag negative, well suppressed on long-term NUCs, no major complications. Then they split them up.
Yep. Randomized 1-to-1. Completely by chance, patients were assigned to either arm A, stop their NUC treatment.
Okay, the intervention group.
Or arm B, continue their NUC treatment just as before, following standard practice.
Yeah.
After a couple of people dropped out early for various reasons, they ended up with 79 patients in each arm for the main analysis.
79 in each. And how long did they follow them?
For 96 weeks, so nearly 2 years.
Okay, 96 weeks. And what was the number one thing, the primary endpoint they were looking for?
The main goal was to see who achieved sustained HBsAg loss by the end of that 96-week period. Did they clear that surface antigen? And critically, did it stay gone?
Right. Sustained loss. Okay, so the big reveal.
Yeah.
What happened? Did stopping treatment lead to more HBsAg loss?
Yes. This is really the headline finding. In arm A, the group that stopped NUCs, 8 patients lost their HBsAg.
8 out of 79. What percentage is that?
That works out to 10.1%.
Okay, 10%. And in arm B, the group that kept taking their medicine?
0. None of the 79 patients who continued treatment lost HBsAg. 0%.
Wow. Okay, 10% versus 0%. That sounds like a pretty clear difference. Was it statistically significant?
Highly significant. The p-value was 0.006. meaning that difference is extremely unlikely to be just due to chance.
Okay.
So it provides really strong evidence that for these patients, a controlled stop offers a genuine shot at functional cure that just doesn't seem to happen if you stay on the meds.
That's huge. Did they see any other signs pointing towards better viral control in the stop group?
They did. They looked at something called HBsAg seroconversion. That's when you not only lose the antigen, but also develop protective antibodies.
Ah, right. The body learns to fight it.
Exactly. And 6 patients in arm A, that's 7.6%, achieved this seroconversion, again, compared to 0 in arm B.
Okay.
And even for those who didn't fully clear HBsAg, a significant drop in the level of HBsAg, like more than a 90% reduction, or one log drop, was way more common in the stopping group. About 20% in arm A saw that, versus only about 1% in arm B.
So stopping seemed to trigger a much more dynamic response regarding HBsAg levels overall.
Definitely. Much more activity leading to actual cures in some.
Okay, let's dig into arm A a bit more. Those 79 people who stopped, what actually happened to them over the 96 weeks? Did the virus just come roaring back?
Well, as you'd kind of expect, once they stopped the drug that was holding the virus down, yes, all of them saw their HBV DNA levels rebound initially. The virus started replicating again.
Which sounds potentially scary, but presumably the trial was set up to monitor and manage this?
Absolutely. That was key. They had very careful monitoring schedules and, importantly, preset rules criteria for when a patient should restart NUC treatment if things got too active, purely for safety.
Okay, so safety net in place. So what were the ultimate outcomes for those 79 people in arm A?
Right, so we know the 8 patients, 10.1%, got the big prize, HBsAg loss, functional cure. But what's also really interesting is what happened to many of the others. A large group, 32 patients, which is 40.5%, a really substantial number.
40%, yeah.
They achieved something this study called sustained remission.
Okay, what does sustained remission mean for someone who stopped their meds?
It meant that their HBV DNA levels stayed relatively low under a specific threshold.
Yeah.
2,000 IUMLO, and their liver enzyme levels, ALT, stayed normal in all their follow-up checks after stopping.
So basically, they managed to keep the virus fairly quiet and avoid liver inflammation, all without needing daily medication anymore.
Exactly. They effectively transitioned into a state that looks very much like what we call an inactive carrier. they still technically have the virus, but it's under control, not causing active damage, and crucially, they did this off treatment.
So even if they didn't hit the functional cure mark, over 40% were able to successfully stay off medication long term with good control. That's also a pretty positive outcome.
It really is. It suggests another potential benefit of stopping for a significant group. Now, not everyone managed that. Some did need to go back on treatment.
Right. You mentioned retreatment criteria. How many needed that?
11 patients, which is about 13.9%, met those predefined criteria to restart their NUCs.
Okay.
And those criteria were based on combinations of how high their ALT liver enzymes went and how high their viral load rebounded. Mm-hmm. It was all about intervening safely before any significant liver injury could occur.
Got it. And what about the folks in Arm A who didn't need retreatment and didn't achieve HBS ag loss? So the ones in that sustained remission or maybe even better group, how did they look at the end?
Yeah, so among those who stayed off treatment at the 96-week mark, about 18% actually had HBV DNA levels below the limit of detection.
Yeah.
It's really, really low.
Wow. Almost undetectable even without meds.
Mm-hmm. And the vast majority, over 77% of those who stayed off treatment, had normal ALT levels at week 96. So for many, their body really did seem to find a new equilibrium, managing the virus quite well without the NUCs.
Now, you mentioned ALT levels. What about those liver enzyme flares? Were they common in the group that stopped?
Yes, they were definitely a feature in Arm A. They defined a flare as ALT going more than 3 times the upper limit of normal. About 35%, roughly a third of the patients in Arm A experienced such a flare.
Okay.
These were much more frequent and generally higher than anything seen in Arm B, the group still on treatment.
Did they just resolve on their own?
For most patients in Arm A, yes, the flares settled back down spontaneously. This is often interpreted as a sign of the immune system kicking in and fighting the virus.
An immune reaction.
Potentially, yes. But some flares were significant enough, high enough, or prolonged enough that they triggered those safety criteria for restarting medication.
Right. So the rebound happens, maybe the immune system reacts, you see a flare. But did they figure out who was most likely to succeed? Like, were there any clues predicting which patients in Arm A would actually achieve that HBS ag loss?
Yes. And this was maybe one of the most important practical findings from the study, even though it was an exploratory analysis.
Yeah.
There was one factor that stood out very strongly.
What was it?
It was the patient's HBS ag level at baseline, meaning right when they stopped their NUC treatment.
Ah, the amount of that surface antigen they started with when they stopped. How much difference did that make?
A huge difference. The lower your HBS ag level was when you stopped, the dramatically higher your chance of achieving functional cure.
Okay, give us the numbers.
Right. So for the patients who started with really low HBS ag, less than 100 IUML, an amazing 50% of them, 5 out of 10, achieved HBS ag loss.
50%, half of them.
Exactly. If their starting level was a bit higher, say between 100 and 1,000 IML, the success rate dropped, but was still decent, 13.3%, or 2 out of 15 achieved loss.
Still much better than zero.
Definitely. But then, if their baseline HBS ag was over 1,000 IML, the chance of success plummeted. Only one patient out of 54 in that group, just 1.9%, achieved HBS ag loss.
Wow. Okay, that is crystal clear. Baseline HBS ag level is a massive predictor. If it's below 100, maybe a 50-50 shot based on this, that completely changes the calculation compared to staying on treatment?
It absolutely does. It really emphasizes patient selection. If you look at the median HBS ag level, the middle value for those who did achieve loss, it was only 72 IMEL.
Okay.
For those who didn't achieve loss, the median was way up at 2046 IMEL.
Huge difference. Now, did it matter which specific NUC they had been taking before they stopped, like tenofovir versus entecavir, the common potent ones? Did that predict success?
Interestingly, no.
Yeah.
The specific type of potent NUC they were on beforehand did not seem to predict whether or not they would achieve HBS ag loss.
Yeah.
It did, however, seem to influence the timing and the magnitude of the viral rebound and the ALT flares after stopping. But not the ultimate outcome of HBS ag loss itself.
Okay, that's useful to know. It wasn't about the specific prior drug, more about the patient's status, especially that HBS ag level. Now let's talk safety again, because that's paramount. How safe did stopping prove to be in this controlled setting?
Yeah, absolutely critical point. The study authors were very clear. There were no serious adverse events that were considered related to the act of stopping NUCs in Arm AA.
That's reassuring.
It is. While the viral rebounds happened and the ALT flares happened, the monitoring protocol and those retreatment criteria seemed to work effectively. They managed these events without patients experiencing severe lasting harm.
And what about the 11 patients who did have to restart treatment? How did they fare?
The retreatment worked well for them. Their HBV DNA quickly became undetectable again. Their liver enzymes normalized. They were effectively rescued back to a controlled state. One interesting note they made was that none of the patients who needed retreatment, specifically because of high ALT flares, went on to achieve HBsAg loss later.
Ah, so maybe those really big flares requiring intervention weren't the good kind of immune response leading to cure.
It says that, perhaps. Maybe there's a sweet spot. Some immune flare might be necessary or helpful, but flares severe enough to hit the safety restart criteria weren't associated with success in this trial. More to learn there.
Were there any other safety flags? You mentioned liver enzymes. What about other liver function tests?
They did note that two patients in the stopping arm had elevated bilirubin levels, which is another marker of liver function. One of those patients experienced temporary jaundice, yellowing of the skin.
Okay, but temporary.
Yes. Importantly, these were reversible events. They got better.
All right. So pulling all these threads together, the effectiveness, the predictors, the safety profile, what was the main conclusion? The big message from the AstatoP NUC investigators?
Their main takeaway is pretty direct. They concluded that for HBag negative patients without cirrhosis who've been successfully treated long-term with NUCs, a carefully monitored discontinuation of that therapy is both effective and safe.
Effective and safe.
Yes. And it offers a real, meaningful chance at achieving functional cure HBsAg loss, a chance that you simply don't get by just continuing the medication indefinitely.
And they stress that this trial gives us that solid evidence showing stopping can work for a relevant proportion of patients, especially highlighting that group with the low baseline HBsAg under 1,000 IMNL.
Exactly. It really shifts the paradigm for this patient group. It moves the conversation from just lifelong suppression towards potential pathway to functional cure through a controlled stop strategy.
Now, what about the why? Why would stopping treatment work when continuing doesn't seem to? Did this study offer any biological explanations?
Yes. The results seem to support a really interesting hypothesis, one that's been talked about before. The basic idea goes something like this. Keeping the virus suppressed way down for years with NUCs might allow the patient's own immune system to sort of recover or reset itself to some extent.
Okay.
Then, when you take away the NUC break, the virus level starts to rise again. And this controlled increase in viral antigens might act like a stimulus or a boost for the now partially recovered immune system.
Like waking it up.
Exactly. It could trigger a stronger, more effective specific immune response against the virus-infected cells. The authors even used the term auto-vaccination.
Auto-vaccination? That's a fascinating concept. Like, the body vaccinates itself using its own returning virus.
That's the idea. This renewed immune attack could then lead to clearing out more infected cells, better long-term control, and ultimately, in some cases, loss of HBsAg.
That aligns with seeing those ALT flares too, right? That's the immune system in action.
Precisely. The flares could be the visible sign of that immune battle heating up after the NUCs are stopped. Now, the authors are careful to say this mechanism needs more research to be fully proven and understood.
Sure.
They also noted that the HBsAg loss wasn't like flipping a switch. It happened at various points throughout the 96-week follow-up. It wasn't just immediate.
Right. And you mentioned earlier studies on stopping had mixed results. Did the SRPNUC team have ideas why their trial might have shown a clear benefit?
They did speculate on that. They pointed to a couple of potential factors. One was patient selection specifically, how long patients had been suppressed before stopping.
Yeah.
Stop PNUC required at least 4 years of viral suppression.
Okay, same as that early 2012 study that looked promising.
Right, whereas some other trials that had less impressive results maybe included patients with shorter durations of prior suppression. Maybe that longer period allows for better immune recovery before stopping.
Makes sense. Anything else?
They also mentioned their retreatment strategy. The Santee NUC rules allowed for some milder ALT flares to occur without immediate retreatment while still having clear safety cutoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They suggested this approach might have given the immune system a chance to mount that potentially beneficial response, whereas studies that perhaps retreated very quickly at the first sign of a flare might have inadvertently shut down that process too soon.
Interesting. Finding that balance between letting the immune system work and ensuring safety.
Exactly.
This deep dive definitely paints a compelling picture. For certain patients, stopping treatment isn't just wishful thinking. It's a viable strategy backed by strong evidence. So what's the core takeaway for someone listening who has chronic Hep B or knows someone who does?
I think the absolute key takeaway is this. The ITAP-PNUC trial provides robust evidence that for HBeAg-negative patients without cirrhosis who've had their virus well controlled on NUCs for at least 4 years, stopping that medication under close medical supervision, that's crucial, is a safe option.
Safe.
And it's an effective strategy for increasing the chance of achieving functional cure, HBsAg loss. It's not a sure thing for everyone, obviously, but it offers a significantly better chance, around 10% in this study overall, compared to essentially zero chance if you just continue treatment.
And that chance goes way up if your HBsAg is already low before you stop.
Precisely. That baseline HBsAg level, especially if it's below 1,000, or even better, below 100 IUML, seems to be a very powerful predictor of who benefits most from this stop strategy.
That knowledge really does offer a potential alternative path for many people, doesn't it? Moving beyond just managing the condition for life towards potentially achieving a cure.
It really does. It opens up a new conversation between patients and doctors.
So what's next? What future research did this study point towards?
Several key things. Firstly, longer-term follow-up of these SWPNUC patients is really important.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see if that HBsAg loss holds up over many years, and if maybe even more patients achieve loss later on, beyond 96 weeks.
Okay, durability.
Durability, exactly. Secondly, studies in different populations around the world. HBV genotypes vary globally. Patient characteristics differ, so we need to see if these findings hold true elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, a big area is finding even better ways to predict success. Are there other biomarkers, maybe immune markers, besides HBsAg level that can help us select patients even better? And related to that, really digging into the details of that immune response, that auto-vaccination idea, understand exactly how it works.
Yeah, understanding the mechanism feels key. Which leads me to a final thought. Thinking about that auto-vaccination concept, using the virus's return to spark immunity, how might future treatments build on that?
That's a really interesting direction to think about, isn't it? If a temporary controlled viral rebound can stimulate the immune system effectively in some people, could we perhaps design therapies to achieve that more deliberately? Maybe, for example, future approaches could involve not just stopping NUCs, but perhaps combining a planned stop or a finite duration of NUCs with specific immune-boosting therapies. Could we give therapies that enhance that natural immune trigger effect, making it more reliable or work for more people, maybe without needing such significant flares?
So intentionally designing a treatment course, maybe NUCs plus an immunomodulator for a set time specifically to provoke that curative immune response.
Exactly. This study, by showing that stopping can work and hinting at the immune mechanism, really paves the way for exploring these kinds of finite duration treatment strategies, moving away from just indefinite suppression towards actively trying to induce immune control and cure.
A really fascinating prospect, harnessing the body's own defenses, maybe even triggered by the virus itself, as the route to a functional cure. Thank you so much for walking us through this landmark trial.
My pleasure. It's definitely an important study.
And thank you, our listener, for joining us for this deep dive into the SWPNUC trial and its implications for the future of chronic hepatitis B management.